All right. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to SaberSims DFS Office Hours. It's Thursday, July 11th here. My name's Jordan. I'm the head coach here at SaberSim, filling in for Andrew once again today and again tomorrow while he enjoys a nice vacation here. If this is your first time tuning into Office Hours, the point of this show is an open Q&A stream where you can ask me questions about SaberSim, about DFS, whatever really you guys want to talk about in the YouTube chat or in the x.com chat or in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. We have a handful of questions to jump into here right off the bat today. We also did have an update hit our beta site, beta.sabersim.com, earlier this morning, a change to our contest sims that I think is pretty interesting. So I want to talk just briefly about that here as well. The beta access to test out some of our beta features that aren't ready to go to the live version of the app is a pretty neat little feature or add-on, I guess you get. As a pro or ultimate subscriber. So if you are interested in checking out features before we release them out to the production site, it's just another reason to sign up for pro or ultimate. So this is a pretty cool new thing. We'll talk about this here in just a second. I'll get beta pulled up. Actually, that's production. So let me go ahead and get beta pulled up so we can play around here with this. But yeah, pretty cool little feature there. We've started doing this here for a lot of our new like feature updates here. So when a why is it so big? There we go. Let's bring that back a little bit. When we drop a new feature or sometimes like model updates, this is like a little bit almost more of a model update than it is a feature set. It's just a cool way to get to play around with some of these things here before they go live. So on this one in particular, we wanted to release this to beta first, just because it's a bit of an experiment. We want to kind of see how this new contest sim works. So let me first see if I can get Scott's release notes pulled up here. I think that would actually be easiest, and we could read these together here and kind of get an idea of what's going on. Let me stop sharing there and share this. Okay, cool. So yeah, this went live. Oh, this went live actually last night. So the big thing that this changed is the way that the production contest sims work, the way they are currently live, is we'll take a given lineup in your pool, and when we plug it into the contest sim and we simulate it against the field lineups that are selected, it is the only lineup from your pool that goes into that contest sim. It is alone. And its probabilities of taking different positions in the contest are solved for independently, and then that happens for each lineup in your given pool. The problem with that is ultimately, assuming you're not just playing a single entry, you're going to play more than one lineup. That can lead you down a route of potentially playing very similar lineups because they don't recognize in the contest sim that they actually start to cannibalize each other's EV. So in reality, only one lineup can win first. So if there are, you know, a bunch of very similar lineups in your pool that look like they're likely to win first, they're profitable, they might actually be less profitable than another lineup when you take into account that you're playing them all together. So it's a little bit tricky to kind of think about. And I actually don't know exactly how we're solving that with this new system specifically. I think some of that is a little bit of secret sauce that the models team and the data scientists here, Will, Eric, Matt, everybody worked pretty hard on and kind of want to keep a little under wraps even within the team here. So my understanding is kind of what's going on here now is the way that this new contest sim is supposed to work is it's supposed to be more aware of the other lineups that are in your pool. What's really cool about this is this does start to solve some of the issues that we were trying to solve with self-sims. So if you've been following along in the last couple weeks of Office Hours and pro videos and things like that, you've probably heard us talk about these self-sims. And the point of that, or what that is simulating your pool against itself, at least as one of your contest sims you're using then to sort and filter by. That would take into account to some extent the portfolio of your lineups at large, because you would, you know, if there was a really low owned Miami stack or something like that, if you simulate your lineups against themselves, the more and more Miami stacks are, the more and more of a stack that appears in your field, the less and less it's going to show up as profitable. So this does fix that a little bit here. So if I've lost you completely and you're like, what is this guy talking about? I don't really get this. I think the simplest way to think about this now is that the new, that what is on beta will take into account your lineups as they are simmed in a way that is more aware of the other lineups that you are planning on playing, or that you could play some more of these lineups. So it is on beta for a reason here. This is something that we want to kind of test out and see and play around with and make sure that we're getting numbers that make sense. But I thought as a way to start this off here today, we should play around with it a little bit. And let's actually kind of see what it does on tonight's slate. So what I'm going to do, and we'll get into the questions here in just a second. You guys can fire away questions now if you have them. Feel free to pop questions in. There's a few in Discord that we need to get to. But what I was going to do as a way to start this here is run a build on production. And I'm playing around with this for the very first time, so I haven't messed with this at all either. But I was going to run a build on production here first, and then run a build on beta, and we will run contest sims on both. And let's see if we can kind of see any differences in this. So we'll assume that this is for like a mini max. I actually think I'm playing the mini max here. If I've, yeah, I have registered. So let's set this up here as a kind of default contest sim and then build. And then if I come over here, let's see if I refresh. I think I'm logged into the same account on both of these. Oh, no, I'm not. Okay, that's okay. We'll just grab this again. So yeah, let's run both of these on beta and on the production site and kind of just see what this looks like. See the differences here. From what I have heard, again, this is my first time playing this, is that the results of the contest sim give you a little bit more of a naturally diversified, like a little bit more of a portfolio optimized set of lineups right off the bat. And the other thing too is like min uniques on production is another tool that kind of helps to resolve some of this problem, where if you have a bunch of your lineups at the very top graded by ROI that all look very similar to one another, just using min uniques does help resolve some of that as well. But a lot of this feature and some of the other things that are coming out here in the near-ish future are really designed to more specifically solve some of the problems that we've kind of been approximating recently with things like self-sims and even min unique. So John says, is there a difference in sims between beta and regular? There aren't, nothing in the like the play-by-play game simulations have changed. The main difference is in the contest sim. So, but there's no other, before this update, beta and the production site were identical to one another. They had no differences. So now that this update is live, the only difference is the difference in contest sim. So, but let's, okay, so we have our two builds here, and let's run the contest sims and see what we're looking at here. So I'm pretty excited about this, and I'm interested to kind of just see, you know, the difference here and what has changed and how that affects my process here. So I'm interested to just kind of see this. So while we wait for these contest sims to finish here, actually they are finished. So before I distract myself, we'll just keep going on this thread here. So this is production. So let's start here. So this is sorting by ROI, and let's see if we can kind of see some of the issues that we tend to see, or not necessarily issues, but some of the things that we've been, you know, trying to work around lately. So we are like kind of slamming the Braves. And this is kind of the result that you are likely to have seen if you've been using contest sims on production right off the bat, right? Is 4.5 run total here. So kind of decent projected team. and very low ownership. This is kind of the way that the default contest sims tend to take you, is find this exploitative spot and slam it, right? So it makes a lot of sense. We're seeing Braves here. If we jump over to the stacks, right, it's like slam the Braves. So we tend to do things like increase min uniques, right, which is going to immediately help solve some of that, which is still a good thing. I'm not saying this replaces min uniques, but this is kind of, you know, how we start to solve this. And going back to the root problem again here, part of the reason why you're getting so many Braves here is because as we grade lineup one, which is a Brave stack, it is independent of this. Actually, this is like a really good example. These two lineups here, let me see if I can drag this off, right? These are very similar to each other. They're actually maybe even just one player different. Yeah, they're literally one player different. It's a Willie Calhoun and Mickey Moniak is the one player swap here. So these two lineups, when they get simmed out, they're not assuming on production that they might be played together. So their ROI is calculated independently. But if you played both of these lineups in the contest, they actually would both be lower ROI. And that can seem like a weird thing, right? Like, I think that's a very hard concept to grasp when you're thinking this through, especially if you're like, well, I'm playing both of them, right? So who cares if they're like, if one takes, who cares if they're cannibalizing their own ROI? How can they cannibalize their own ROI if I'm playing both of these lineups, right? Well, the way that actually plays out is you are almost paying double the entry fee to play a lineup nearly twice, right? Like if you're going to play two entries into a contest, you want to make sure that they have their fair share at first place. And this lineup takes away so much of the, honestly, whatever one is projected higher, right? So this one's projected for slightly higher. This lineup, when this lineup is poised to take first place in a contest, this lineup now all of a sudden like is very unfavored to get first place. And so much of the equity in your contest comes from first place here that you want to make sure that if you're going to play 150 lineups in there, you are playing a diversified pool and they're not taking equity away from each other. Right. So I probably did a poor job of explaining that, to be quite honest, but it is just, I guess another way of kind of thinking about it is just in the same way a different player playing very similar lineups to you hurts your EV, you playing very similar lineups to yourself also hurts the EV of your lineups in that pool. Because you are blocking yourself in the contest. So anyway, that's the production. Now let's see what happens here on the beta here and just kind of take a look. So where's my exposures? So already a significant difference in the way that these exposures look. I'm actually pretty stunned at how different these look. If we flop over to the team stacks, we're still very much like we're still over the field on Atlanta. The Sims are still identifying an ownership leverage opportunity there. But now we're getting 31% Atlanta here as our top stack instead of like nearly 60% that we were seeing just a second ago. Yeah, exactly 60%. And that's because now for these Atlanta stacks to be profitable, for them to go in and be played and grade out well in our contest sim, they need to be profitable knowing that we're also playing a lot of potential Atlanta stacks and maybe a lot of Atlanta stacks that are similar to one another. And what we'll probably see, yeah, so looking at the top lineups here, the first handful of lineups, they're different. They appear different from each other because the sim now is aware of the fact that we need to play different lineups. We need to diversify our portfolio here. So interesting. Another thing I'm noticing here right off the bat is some of these. Okay, so it might just be kind of randomness. Some of these top lineups are a little bit more of some smaller stacks as well. 4-2-2 is fine. 4-3 is a pretty typical stack. 5 stack. There's a 4-1-1-1, but I think that's actually just kind of random just by chance, because when we look at our stack exposures, you're still seeing the typical really good stacks that you want to be playing, but a little bit more of these 4-2, 4-2-2s, 3-3, 3-2s that are popping up. So, you know, this would probably be something where I would end up going in and like kind of handpicking some stacks that I wanted to play here. So if we go through, and maybe do something like this as our stacks and kind of force force SaberSim to find the stacks that we want to play here. But yeah, so pretty cool. So one other thing that you're going to note from this probably immediately here is the ROIs of your lineups are going to come in a little bit lower than you might be accustomed to. And that's a good thing, right? Like, if you've looked at these ROIs here before, 125%, 124.5%, that's not really actually like logically the ROI of these, right? DFS is not that profitable that somebody actually has like 125% ROI lineups here as your top lineup in your pool, right? Like, it's 45% is a much more realistic statement about this lineup's ROI than is 125%. So don't freak out if you're seeing lower ROIs. That's actually a good thing. And that means our ROIs there are actually probably a little bit more accurate here now. So that is kind of another improvement here. So John, I kicked this off here by talking about these changes here. There's also notes in our what's the channel called? It is the Pro Beta Release Notes channel that walks through it. I'll give kind of the quick version, but if you just rewind and check out the very start of the stream here, the main thing is the beta contest sims are now aware of the other lineups that you're playing when it runs the contest sim. So it's not calculating each lineup's ROI in a vacuum and assuming that's the only lineup you played. It's now accounting for the portfolio that you're potentially building for that contest, and making sure that your lineups are profitable as a group. So the main thing is that you should see it will naturally work to diversify you a little bit more now, and it will mean that you're not cannibalizing the EV of your lineups by playing the other lineups in your portfolio. So one thing I kind of wanted to play with here is just kind of seeing what my process for min uniques looks like. So I'm also going to set I'm also going to set some min uniques and just kind of see like what we get here trying to diversify with min uniques. Oh, interesting. I've set stack exposures here, so it doesn't like the stacks. Okay, maybe actually let's take my stacks off. Let's do this. And so what I'm doing here, I'm filtering out lineups that don't show up as profitable at all. And I just want to kind of stress test the min uniques here. So it also seems like it's actually easier for us to get more diversified with min uniques here, which means that like the lineups that are grading out as profitable, period. So when we do this filter here and filter out lineups that are unprofitable, we're getting actually a more diverse pool already, right? Getting to 5 min uniques on a 7-game baseball slate is something that I haven't really been able to do much of this season. Most of the time I've been closer to like 4. But 5 min uniques means that our pool itself of profitable lineups is already more diversified, which also makes a lot of sense here, which means that we're able to play more diversified portfolios. So I like this a lot. I like this a lot. These numbers look pretty good to me. I will probably, I don't know, I'm assuming somebody out there is going to ask me, are you still going to do self-sims on the with the beta sims? I don't know if I will, at least early on. I think I will probably experiment with this here as it is intended to be used, which doesn't include a self-sim, mostly because I think this does a pretty good job of solving the problems that the self-sim was trying to attack. And the self-sim also has some issues, right? Simulating your build against itself, which is something I've been doing a lot and talking a lot about recently, almost has you almost give up like all of your ownership leverage by doing that, right? Like if we think that the Braves are going to be under-owned tonight, I want to be over the field on that team. And the self-sim would a lot of times just get you completely out off of that. And I like the idea of playing this team and being over the field on them. I just don't want to be so much over the field or so concentrated in my portfolio that I'm cannibalizing my own EV there. So this does seem to be solving that. So I will probably be experimenting with this kind of as it's intended, for lack of a better word here, at least for now. So anyway, go check it out. Remember, if you're joining late here, we're talking about a new contest sim system that just went to beta site, beta.sabersim.com. Beta is restricted to just pro and ultimate subscribers. But if you are on pro or ultimate, you should be able to check it out. Of course, you do need ultimate anyway to use the contest sim. So really, ultimate subscribers can go check out this new contest sim method here and play around with it and let us know what you think, or if you're seeing anything that looks amiss, or if you have questions, you can fire it away. There is a beta feedback channel in our Discord server, which is the best place to do that. So let's go ahead here and answer some questions now. We'll hop over to the ones that came in Discord first. And some of these here may end up being kind of related to what we're already talking about here, but we'll see. So this is from Edub. I have a question about something I've been trying to figure out for a while. When you're adjusting exposures and say you want to increase your exposure for a certain player or team, if you increase exposure to 20% Red Sox and 20% Yankees, for example, why does the builder try to force in lineups that have both those stacks in the same lineup? Same thing with individual players. Just because I want 20% Rory and 20% Xander doesn't mean I want them in the same lineup. Any way to circumvent this besides Minuniques? Minuniques sometimes still doesn't give you the percentage you're looking for. As always, thanks for any advice. Yeah, this is a good point. And the way that this, the reason that this is happening is just because of the way that the app is solving for your exposures, right? So when you're sorting by a given sorting method, so by ROI, for example, this view is the top 150 lineups by ROI. So any exposures that it's trying to meet is pulling in like worse lineups by ROI at the bottom. It's pulling those up and it's trying to do that in the most efficient way possible. So if you've set an exposure and said, I want 20% Red Sox and 20% Yankees, well, if the first lineups it can find looking down that solve for those exposures happen to have those stacks together, it's going to think that's like a win-win, because it solved both of your restrictions with the same lineup, right? It made it very easy to get 20% of both. If there were no lineups in your pool, like think about it like this. Let's say you said 100, you play 100 lineups and you want 20% Yankees and 20% Red Sox. And for whatever reason in your pool, there are no lineups that have those two teams together. It needs to replace 40 lineups to reach both of those exposures, because it needs to reach 20% Red Sox, 20% Yankees. But if there are lineups, if every Yankee stack also has Red Sox in it, and it can just get to 20% of both of those at the same time, it has to replace less lineups. So the way that it solves for exposures here, it is actually going to be more likely that it finds those players together. A couple things you can do, I think, to fix that. The first would be trying to just rebuild your lineups after you've set those exposures. When you have done that, when you've set exposures and then you click rebuild lineups, the next build you run is aware of your desired exposures. The app now at that point has a sense of what you are trying to do on the slate, and it will build you a pool that is a little more built around that, a little more designed to give you those players. And because you'll generally just end up with more Yankees and more Red Sox stacks having done that, there it will also be more likely that you will have lineups with those two teams that aren't together, and it'll make it a little bit easier. Minuniques, I do think, also should be pretty helpful for that. I know you called out Minuniques and said it doesn't really seem to have the effect that you're looking for. I feel like it should. That is kind of exactly what Minuniques does. I would say, you know, if you are still seeing these players paired together doing the rebuild and using Minuniques, it is possible too that they are a team or a combination of players that pairs naturally on the slate. Less so for golf, but for baseball, I could see that, where like you sometimes have these teams that complement each other very well because of the way that their positions and salaries line up. I still don't expect that would be something where you would see 100% of your lineups your 100% of your Yankee stacks and your 100% of your Red Sox stacks being paired together. But, you know, if one team, like, let's say one team has a very weak second base and shortstop, like a player that's just not projected very well, those are maybe a really bad catcher or something like that too. And the other team is strong at those positions. I think those teams naturally pair very well and stack well, and the builder might find that, but that shouldn't be something that affects like 100% of your lineups or anything like that. So I think the most valuable thing to at least experiment with and introduce here would be the rebuild lineups after you've set after you've set the exposures that you want. Rebuilding the lineups will give you a little bit more of a pool designed to do what you're trying to work with there. So the last note I will mention is, in a similar vein, you could also just increase the projections for the players on those teams, which would just be a way of getting more exposure there. So if you wanted more Yankees and Red Sox, you could increase each team by, you know, a quarter or a half run, and you'll just get more of them in your pool, and you'll just get more. By having more lineups with those stacks in your pool, you'll have more versions of them where they're not paired together. Same thing with the golf example, Rory and Xander. If you just bumped up their exposures, if you just bumped up their projections a little bit, you'll just have more of those players in your pool. There'll be more diversified options for playing them as well. So I think those are your three tools at your disposal is rebuild lineups after you've set the exposures, use min uniques, and increase the projections of the players in question there. So. Cool. And then Pat asks a question here about golf here. For PGA, should I be limiting my player pool? I noticed for a 20 lineup build, my player pool is usually around 38 golfers. I just feel like I'm sprinkling in a lot of players at say 5% ownership, and I'm not seeing much profit even when I have good exposure to the tournament levers. Yeah. So I actually am pretty against that in general. I rarely limit my player pool at all. And a lot of what I actually recommend people to do, a lot of like the leaks in processes that I see on office hours and in our support email and things like that, is people that are playing too concentrated. So I actually think it's a good thing. Like I would try to be diversified, right? Especially if you're playing, if you think about it, the goal of a portfolio of lineups you're entering into a contest, you would want that portfolio to be as diversified as possible while sacrificing no profitability, right? So that tends to be my guiding principle of the way that I recommend people play, right? I think the idea of a core, like the locking in a core group of players and rotating players around those, is kind of a relic of the old way of thinking about DFS. And I think playing that way is, while potentially profitable, is going to be extremely swingy, and you're going to lose a lot, and your wins are probably not going to pay off your losses playing that concentrated of an approach. So I actually recommend in general people play very diversified. I don't like the idea of limiting player pools. I mean, there are exceptions to that rule. In baseball, you know, I might limit my player pool by removing a game with weather risk or something like that. Or in golf, you know, potentially you might remove an injury concern player. If there's individual player risk, that might be a reason to remove players. But I don't think there's a good reason to eliminate players from your pool ahead of time, purely for the purpose of concentrating your player exposures. Regarding the second point here, mentioning you're not seeing much profit, I would recommend using contest flashback as a way to determine if you're on the right track, rather than your winnings on a given slate. The actual profit achieved on a given slate is very swingy, very noisy, very hard to tell if you're on the right track. Contest flashback will let you know in a way that is more more signal than noise if you're on the right track by simulating the contest out. So it takes the contest, the actual lineups played, and simulates it out 100,000 times, and you'll be able to see if your expectation was profit. Let's see. Are these... But we are having a little bit of an annoying bug with contest flashback lately here, where my favorite contest, personally, which is the Minimax, is not processing well. But I can at least show you what it is intended to look like here. So if we open up here, we'll just do the flagship from Monday. And again, this is baseball, but it still applies for golf here as well. But you can go in here and see, was your expectation profitable, right? If this slate played out over and over and over again, would you have expected to have made profit? And that's the number you really want to look at, is the sim ROI here, and make sure that you're playing profitably that way. Here, we'll bounce over to golf and just take a look at it here. We'll do last week's golf slate so we can kind of see. We'll do the $5. So the way I typically end up using this is I'll take a contest that I played and look at other players that max that contest out, and then see what. Oh, that's weird. Why are these? Huh. Is there a, there it is, sim ROI. So you can see amongst other maxers here. So Garn's 222 here actually ended up having a minus 70 and a half day ROI wise on the slate, was expected to be profitable. So if I was this player, I would say, okay, my process is probably working. It will, over the long term, I will have those slates where I end up winning here. And I think it's just a more sustainable way to look at your results. So kind of a long-winded answer there. Again, I would actually seek ways in your process to get more diversified without sacrificing lineup quality, rather than figuring out ways to get less diversified by doing something like limiting your player pool. So, and then another question here, and then we'll hop over to the YouTube chat. Quick question. What's your favorite stack type on Yahoo and FanDuel? Yeah, this is kind of a tough question. I think there's definitely some nuance here. Depends a lot on the size of the slate. It also depends on, you know, slate dynamics. But the best way I can answer this, I typically tend to play very big stacks. I think that's like the direction that I have been slowly moving. I have found that I mostly have been playing DraftKings this season, but my preferred stack has been 5-2 stacks. And I would say the equivalent of those is on FanDuel would be a 4-3, and on Yahoo would be a 6-2. I got to look at Yahoo again and remind myself of what the actual stacks look like. Can you do a 6-2? Okay, you could do a 6-2, but that would be your entire lineup. So the reason I like the 5-2s on DraftKings is because it is making one big correlated bet on a team, right, in the form of the 5 stack. So you're not trying to parlay that. The 4-4 stacks are fine. I don't eliminate 4-4 stacks from my build, but you're making two bets on a team having an upside outcome. With a 5-2 stack, you're really making one big bet. But the reason I like the 5-2 in particular is that one-off helps to differentiate you quite a bit. I've actually been surprised how much this season a handful of my lineups in my portfolio will end up being duplicated in large field GPPs on DraftKings. And when they are, they're almost always 5-3 stacks or 4-4 stacks, which are just a lot easier to be duped because you don't have that like random one player. The 5-2 stack has that advantage of being one big correlated bet on the 5 stack. You have two players from another team. That's a correlated bet right there. And then you just kind of have one other random player, and it's just very hard for that lineup to show up as being duplicated. So the equivalent versions of those, I think, would be probably the 6 stack on Yahoo, and the 4-3 stack on FanDuel would probably be like my favorite stacks. But I do want to be clear that I am not building my lineups 100% 5-2s. I'm not targeting those stacks in a specific way. I tend to let the correlation slider on SaberSim do a lot of the work on what stacks I'm going to play for that given slate. And I will tend to just, you know, hand select a handful out of them. So like for DraftKings, I would probably play on most slates any of these stacks. For Yahoo, I would probably play, I'd probably want at least a five stack on Yahoo and maybe even be a little less willing to play this. No, actually, yeah, I'd probably do something like this on, oh, you guys can't really see that. Let me try like this. So on Yahoo, might be playing something a little more like that. And then on FanDuel, probably playing something like this would be what I would be doing. Would probably be my approach. But that's mostly just like, you'll find that the correlation slider alone on SaberSim will get you to those stacks. And really this ends up just eliminating like maybe 5% or less of your pool that would have shown up as not being those stacks. So. Okay. Let's see. Couple questions here in the live chat. Josh says, have you played the winner take all home run contest on DK? $1 to enter, $4,000 to first place. I have not. I haven't even seen those. Are they like normal contests? Or you said home run. I don't know if I'm curious like what those are. Is it a different game type? Oh, single stat home runs. No, I haven't messed with these at all. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I haven't. I've never even actually seen these before. That's cool. So it's only home runs score is what I understand. All users. Simply select three eligible MLB players that you think will finish the highest total of the stat and the contest name in their respective games. Huh. Interesting. And it's a single entry. Wow, that's pretty fun, actually. I might try that out. This one's a three entry max. I mean, $3 for a $4,000 shot. That does seem kind of fun. I wonder what the strategy is there. There's probably something that you could do with like trying to think this through, because you want to one point for each home run, no salary cap, pick whoever you want. I mean, it's going to be like, just like the variance of this is insane. Obviously, like winner take all, beat 5,000 people on home runs, which is just kind of a crazy, crazy stat. I wonder if you could back out like home run odds from, you could back out like implied probabilities from home run odds on a sports book. And kind of get a sense of like what the books think are the most likely home run players, and then just play the SaberSim home run percentages against that. And I think that would be kind of interesting. And then play like your goal would be to try to play a lineup that projects well, which would just be like ownership sum, I guess, versus its ownership, which would be like the market opinion of home run odds. I don't know. Or you play this in a very correlated way and just try to find a team that's going to get more hitting opportunities and just play like three players from the same team or two, like stack two and then pick a one-off. That would be another way. I think that would actually probably be the way I would approach it, is try to pick a team that you think is just like maybe has upside for a high scoring game that's going to give everybody more hitting opportunities, and then just throw in a player that's projected very well. That'd be kind of interesting. I wonder if like there's, let's see, are there teams that we tend to think have very high home run odds? I mean, there's not really a way to like actually look that up, but I guess Phillies and Dodgers definitely are popping up quite a bit. Yeah. So like you could do something where you play like Teoscar Hernandez and Will Smith together in that, who like we think have pretty good home run odds and are probably going to be a little less popular than, you know, Otani or Freddie Freeman, but you're getting a correlated bet there. And then you just pair that with like maybe Judge or something like that. Yeah, Josh says usually people don't stack. I think that's probably a mistake, would be my guess. I mean, if you, I think people will probably think that, I don't know, like if you get an extra, if you get an extra plate appearance, that's going to have a big impact on your probability there. And I think there's probably some cognitive bias of people thinking that like multiple home runs from the same game is unlikely, but there's not really any reason it would be. And if you get the extra plate appearance from your team just hitting well, that's a huge bonus to an extra probability of a home run. And I mean, the perfect run out here is getting two home runs from the same player, which like there's an opportunity cost of hitting one. If that's you can't hit two home runs in a plate appearance. So you kind of almost need for that to be more likely. You need the whole team to be going off. Right. So. Like if you're actually now thinking about it, you almost want, like if you're going to play Otani in that contest, you almost want to play other Dodgers because the order needs to be going. Like if you're shooting for the Otani hits two outcome, that order needs to be turning over quite a bit. But I don't know. I'm just thinking through this stuff out loud. I've never seen these contests before, but it does seem fun. So I'm curious how a contest sim would solve that. Be kind of interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the other way you could look at that too is just like, and then we'll move on because we're a little bit off the trail here. But you could also just like, yeah, no, I don't know. I was gonna say you could come up with a lineup where you're playing like some really weird names because you see like there is definitely a top end of home run odds here in the Saberson projections, but then it really flattens out, right? Like there's going to be a ton of players between like 0.15 and 0.2 projected home runs. And probably a lot of these guys are going to be very low ownership, but you're also going to need to beat the chalk to like, you kind of need to make sure that like if the Otani, Schwarber and Judge lineups, I don't know. I guess in the same way of thinking about this from like an NFL showdown standpoint, there's always going to be high projected, highly duped lineups that you're competing with. And they're going to be favored to win, but you're winning bigger when you're right. So maybe you let that go. I don't know. Fun to think about. Okay. Let's keep it rolling here. AK said, what are the pros and cons of this approach? Entering 50 lineups with running sims with 150 lineups and entering contests with unique random. Entering 50 lineups, but then running 150 and entering DK with unique random. I'm thinking more cons than pros. I'm like struggling to think of any pros here, to be honest with you. I also don't think that the cons are extreme. Like, so you're setting up you've got your build, right? And presumably you're running a contest sim or you're sorting by Saber score. And instead of taking the top 50 out of that, you're saying, give me the top 150 and just randomly pick 50. I don't think you get a lot out of that, right? I don't think you get a lot out of that. I think you'd just be better served setting min uniques to diversify your top 50 and then playing the top 50 by your sorting method after having diversified with min uniques. The reason for doing something like that would be if everyone on SaberSim was seeing the top 50 lineups, right? We talked about this yesterday for WNBA because we're only doing projections right now. We're not doing simulations. Everybody does see the same lineups in WNBA when you hit build, assuming you don't have any randomness settings or something like that. So there is a little bit of an advantage of thinking about, okay, I want to dig a little deeper into my pool to find lineups to play. And on a lot of traditional optimizers, that's something else you would want to think about. But knowing that our lineups are built with the sims and there's natural variance baked in, I don't think you get anything out of having done that. So Yeah. I mean, if there's something I'm missing here, or like, I'd be curious your thoughts on like where your head's at with that. The reasons why I think somebody might want to do that or think about doing that would be like diversifying. And I think MinUniQs is just a more direct way. Like this is basically just scattergun picking a third of your pool and hoping it naturally diversifies itself, but you could actually intentionally diversify yourself with MinUniQs, and you don't need to worry about the problem of other Sabersim users duping you because of how high variance the builds are, period. So I can't think of any other reason why you would want to do that. Yeah, I don't know. Aaron says, do you like to control what type of random one-offs you want, or do you let Saberthing do its thing? Yeah, so I've been doing this less and less and less. So I have in the past used this home run rule. And actually, I think I have videos up on the YouTube channel here where I talked about this from the start of the season, where I would say, basically, this rule is a backwards way of saying don't use any players that are projected for less than 0.15 of a probability of a home run. Unless, I'm turning myself around here. Don't use players that have less than this probability of a home run unless they're in a stack. Don't use them as one-offs. And I think that's okay. Like the argument for that was basically if we're gonna use a uncorrelated bet as a hitter, we want to make sure they have like single swing upside that they can get there on their own. I just like, I think this is overkill a little bit at this point. Like the sim and the contest sim picks this up anyway. Like if you're getting a one-off player, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, and Alvarez here is your three one-offs. That sounds pretty good. But, and again, Ohtani and Aaron Judge. So I guess here's a good example of like, can seven-hole hitter for the Athletics get there? Can Perdomo get there as one-offs? But one thing that I've been thinking about with this rule, and the reason why I've stopped using this as much and just let the Sims kind of decide, is you don't need the one-offs necessarily to be the top scorers in your lineup, right? Like this lineup has a way of getting there where it isn't these players being even like top 20 hitters on the slate, right? Like if McCann and Perdomo get their 75th percentile outcomes and don't hit a home run and the Braves go off and you have the right pitchers, right? You might just still be there. And instead you're getting this like salary relief on these players that's letting you play a lineup construction that isn't, you're playing what, four Braves over 5K here plus Ohtani. So I think my old home run rule that I used to use is a little bit over restrictive to how I'm preferring to play now. And I'm a little more willing to play kind of anybody at those. I should refresh projections. It looks like Alvarez is out. So I'll run a new build to get that in there. But yeah, like I just don't think you need to do it. I don't know. And I may end up changing my mind back on that. But I don't think you need to do it. I don't think it adds much. Because again, I think it's like missing the forest for the trees a little bit, where the lineup can get there. The lineup itself has upside. We're seeing that in the contest sim. We're seeing the fact that it's even appearing in your pool in the first place. You don't need the one-offs to necessarily be home run hitters. They don't have to be. So yeah. And there might be even an unintended consequence of doing that, of like pushing yourself onto value stacks, because you're very likely forcing an allocation. You're like very, very likely forcing high salary players into one-off positions. So you're naturally like pigeonholing? You're pigeonholing yourself into builds where you are forcing yourself to allocate salary to high home run odd players in your one-offs, and then requiring either value pitchers or value stacks in there. to fill in the rest of the lineup. So long story short, no, I this season has been the least opinionated I've been about what one-offs I play in my lineups ever. So AK said, my thoughts were in the MMA approach where I'm not playing too many lineups, but I wanted to have more diversity, but with more randomness. Thanks for the feedback. Yeah, that does make sense. But again, I think even min uniques would probably be better. I think min uniques would probably be a better approach because it's just more direct. It's just a more direct approach. Like you could do what you're describing there and end up with an extremely concentrated portfolio out of just pure luck because of the way that your lineups were selected. And I think you could just be more intentional about seeking diversity there. So John says, what's the best thing to do when you're building and a player gets ruled out so the swap icon goes red? Do you click rebuild lineups or start from scratch? Kind of depends. So I'm assuming this is before lock, most likely. Like you're working through your process and a starting lineup comes out and something has changed. I would say if you've put in a lot of work up until that point, so you've like kind of already started to review your portfolio, maybe you've changed some exposures, maybe you've set a couple rules, you're probably better served clicking rebuild lineups because then it will use what you've already established here with your exposures and things like that in that next build. One thing to be aware of and be cautious of is if you've adjusted any projections, like if you've set the projection for a player, that may not be overwritten. We don't overwrite projections for players even when they get ruled out because we want to give players agency to do that kind of thing. Like a good example of why you might want to do that is like maybe you're playing showdown or something and a player is not going to be in the lineup, but you want them to appear in some of your lineups as a pinch hitter, potentially, like kind of a weird outlier example, but we generally will not overwrite custom projections at all. So be aware of your custom projections, but if you've put in the work to make changes, edit your stack exposures, do things like that, you should click rebuild lineups because then you're picking up from where you left off with the most up-to-date projections. So you could also, a very safe thing to do would be, let's say this is my build, right? Actually, this is a good example. Alvarez is apparently not in the lineup here. So what would I do at this point, right? Because now I want to account for that. What I would probably do is reset your player projections so that there's no issues there, but I have any of my other changes that I've already made in this build, and now I can go ahead and just click rebuild. And now whatever those exposures I've set, different things like that will be factored into this next build. And then you're kind of picking up from where you left off. That's how I would go about doing it. Anthony says, it seems like when I built lineups for the NBA, I don't know so much about baseball, but does the build take more players based on confirmed lineups? Okay, I'm a little confused on the first part of this one here, Anthony, but it does not intentionally bias towards players that are already confirmed. So when I'm building this build right now, it's not like disfavoring players from these games because the lineup isn't confirmed yet. It will use them, assuming the lineups that we have in there are correct. So it is a good idea when you're building for baseball, especially on a slate like this, where there's a big spread between when the first game kicks off and when the late games kick off. What I typically do is I make a mental note of when I need to check back and make sure that I get the right lineups in there. Like I will still play Braves. I'll still play Diamondbacks. I'm going to still play all these teams here when I enter my lineups at lock, but I'll make a mental note if they're still not confirmed when lock comes around and say, okay, I need to check back around, 7:20 my time and make sure I have the right lineups for these teams. And you can come back in. And what you want to look for is, let me show you what this looks like here. So what you want to look for is, let's just mark Judge. Well, actually, let's actually use a player that's in that game. Seattle. Okay. So I would check back at 7:20-ish and look for this little red lightning bolt here. This would be an indication that like you played somebody in your lineups at lock that now isn't in the confirmed starting lineups for those teams. You can click this here And then the way I tend to resolve this is for hitters, I will always try to swap the best from the same team first to keep any stacks intact. And then if you still need to do additional swaps, you can swap them to the best available player and then download those entries and get those uploaded to the site to get them out. And then once I've done that and I know I'm not going to be taking a zero, then I will actually run a late swap build, which will just rebuild your lineups accounting for the new starting lineups. And that second part is useful because sometimes, like, if Julio Rodriguez did end up getting scratched or wasn't in the starting lineup, that's going to actually affect the way that the Mariners are projected overall. So the late swap build after you do the quick swap does a better job of accounting for that there. Says, what I meant was baseball usually has confirmed lineups throughout the whole day. Early NBA takes a long time and waits until the last minute to confirm lineups. Yeah, so baseball is way better with starting lineups coming out on time than NBA. So that is one of the things that's really nice about it. I would say most of the time, most games have their starting lineups out an hour before the game starts at the latest. Sometimes it's much earlier than that. Like, we definitely may have some of these lineups here at 4:05 my time, even though the game doesn't start for 3.5 hours later. Like, it's very possible. That would never happen in NBA. So, but it can, sometimes there are situations where a team takes some time and it may be, I would say like 30 minutes before the game is supposed to start is probably the latest I've seen a starting lineup come out. And normally that ends up happening because there is like a player move that the team is trying to get through before submitting the lineup. Like a player gets, you'll see it sometimes with a player injury where they're trying to quickly get a player called up before they enter that starting lineup. But yeah, by and large, it's much better with starting lineups. So, but we don't have the Cubs lineup yet. At least it appears we don't. So that's kind of a good example of one that like looks like it's coming out a little bit later. I wonder if there's a reason for that. Not an obvious reason. Sometimes like it, again, a player being questionable here would be like an indication. A late lineup with a player that's questionable might be an indication that player's not going to play, but. Raj says, hey, does SaberSim automatically take ownerships and whatnot when the games lock? Yes. So it does. So the, we can look at this here. So we go back to yesterday, and I think these live ownerships are visible for anyone on pro or above, if I'm correct about that. So once the slate locks, you'll start to see these live show up, which is actually the live ownerships from these different, they're like contests that we've kind of designated as the representative contest of these buckets. So for the one I know for sure is low stakes MME is tied to the Minimax. So these are these are the actual ownerships of the players that were in that representative low stakes MME contest there. And if you run contest sims when you are late swapping, so if you run a late swap build and then you run a contest sim on that late swap build, when these toggles are toggled on, and they are by default, you are actually simulating against the real pool that you are competing against in the representative bucket. So if you were playing the flagship, your lineups that are being used in the contest sim to represent your field are actually the lineups that are in your field for the players that we know whose games have already started. And then we're filling in what we expect the other players or what we think the other players in those lineups could be. So the live fields you are competing against in your contest sim are updating for the contest that you're playing as the slate is playing out. And the ownership projections for the live ownership projections are also updating as games lock and as we get those ownerships from DraftKings. That's DraftKings only, for what it is worth. But yes, it is automatically updating there. I'm assuming that's what you meant there with that question. Any other questions for me today? An hour has just flown by. It always does. This show goes super fast. We'll stick around for a couple more minutes here, answer any other questions people have. how many we got here today? 87 of you guys here hanging out with me today. Thanks everybody for tuning in. But I am very excited to play with this new beta feature here, these new contest sims on beta. If you joined late and missed the first 20 or so minutes of the stream here today, we broke down a new contest sim update that hit beta late last night, early this morning here, that just does a better job of recognizing the lineups that you are playing in a contest affect each other's profitability. And we ran a few tests in the first 20 minutes of the stream here and found that it's just doing quite a bit of a better job, at least at first glance, of diversifying your portfolio and making sure you're not ending up in those situations where you're allocating a huge portion of your portfolio to exploit a very like specific low-owned team or something like that. So yeah. So Bill says FanDuel on early slate with beta seemed off, still jam Colorado hard. Wasn't expecting that. Yeah. I mean, there a couple notes. One, this is in beta for a reason. So like we'll be keeping an eye on things. And we'll be, this is yesterday. We'll be testing things. It is not necessarily the case that like it's trying to think about the right words here. The way to know that this is working well is not necessarily that your portfolio looks less diversified always. And especially on a small slate, it's not the purpose of this was not to come up with a better way to diversify your portfolio. It was to come up with a better way to select lineups to play that are aware of the other lineups you are playing. So it is definitely still possible that we might see on smaller slates and things like that, you may still be taking big chances on you know, leverage spots, and you can continue to diversify with min uniques. I would recommend you do. And that's still something we might see, but you can be more confident. Actually, this is probably the right way to look at it. You can be more confident that in doing so, you are not hurting your expected value. So, but it is also, again, this is on beta and it just came out less than 24 hours ago. So it's also possible there is a little bit of a bug or something to look into. I think I saw somebody else mention FanDuel looked a little funny in Discord. So might be something to take a look at there. But John says, do you know if the other sites use beta? Like if I'm building through TrueDFS, there is unfortunately only beta access if you are subscribed direct with us. We don't have a good way to provide beta access to our partners, unfortunately. So, but the hope would be that this gets out to production soon if everything goes well. So, hopefully we get that out quick, but all right, guys, I have got to run here. I will be back again, same time, same place tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, for the last office hours of the week. There won't be a Saturday show this week. And then Andrew will be back again on Monday. So hope to see you guys all again on tomorrow, and enjoy the new contest sims on beta. Good luck in your slates here tonight. If you have any questions or anything like that, you can always reach out in the Discord server. So thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow.